Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint.
Now, streaming live on the Marijuana Attempt.
Oh, really?
What are you people? On dope?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio.
Hey, this is great, man.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
Marijuana is listed as a Schedule I drug. That is absurd.
Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Hey, man. Am I driving okay?
Toker Talk Radio is your chance to make your voice heard in the marijuana nation.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
Send that message with clarity that good people don't smoke marijuana.
Now let's get to joking and talking with your host, Russ Belville.
All right. Welcome to Toker Talk Radio. So glad to have you here as we continue the marijuana agenda into the second hour. Those of you listening live, if you'd like to get a podcast of this second hour, you can do so by going to MJAgenda.com and clicking the Become a Patron button. From this point forward, and actually starting a couple shows ago, Toker Talk Radio is now your VIP benefit. The Marijuana Agenda. First hour podcast will stay free. Those of you who become $4.20 a month VIPs get the second hour podcast on its own separate feed, and you help me keep this on the air and free for the people who need it. So thank you so much for doing so. Real quick, I'm not going to get into the gun thing this week. We covered a lot last week. I'm thrilled as hell about the kids that are standing up and voicing their opinions on the issue. I did want to make this one mention, though. Okay, two mentions. The first thing that I am kind of cracking up about is the discussion about, oh, well, kids can buy an AR-15 at age 18. But they have to be 21 to buy a beer. So we ought to raise the age to get an AR-15 to age 21. And that's okay. That's a reasonable proposal. I think that's fine. But it strikes me as a little bit hypocritical when some of these same people, these conservative politicians who oppose marijuana legalization because it's a public health threat, mind you. Tell us that we have to oppose marijuana legalization for people age 21 and older because that will inevitably lead to diversion to the teenagers. Okay, so you're worried about the diversion of marijuana to the teenagers if the age is 21, but you think raising the AR-15 age to 21 is going to stop the teenager from getting the AR-15. Okay, consistency would be interesting. Speaking of logical consistency as well, the Florida House yesterday didn't even consider debate on a resolution or a bill that would ban assault rifles, but they did find the time to declare pornography a public health menace. That's your elected officials. That's what the taxpayers' dollars are going for. Yeah, remember when those kids went into the schoolroom with a whole bunch of Hustler magazines and killed 17 people? No, I don't remember it either. But okay, that's what passes for governance here. And a final thought on this thing. So President Trump, just a little weird to say that. Trump had a listening session with some of the Florida kids. Held a listening session. And I got to give him some credit where he's talking about, you know, having Jeff Sessions ban the bump stocks through a rule and talking about, you know, we're actually going to do something. Hey, if Trump actually does succeed at doing something about this issue, I'll have to give him all the credit in the world. But I got to comment on this photo that came across from AP because Trump is at this listening session, right? It's a listening session. Got it? A listening session. And this photo from Associated Press shows Trump sitting in a chair, and all you can see is his hands clutching his notes. Now, the note page is a small little page. It's like, I think it would be an A5 in the printer lexicon. For those of you who don't know page sizes, think a regular soft cover, you know, a novel page, right? Small page, you know, 5.5 by 8 maybe. And on this page, he's got 5 notes written down, 5 things to remember, 5 things for this listening session with the kids who survived their classmates and teachers being shot. Now, the number one point, you can actually read the handwriting here. Number one says, what would you most want me to know about your experience? That's a good question. That's good prompt there for a listening session. The number two, what can we do to help you feel safe? That's good. Now, Trump's tiny little hands are covering up number three and number four, so we don't know what that is. But the number five point for the president of the United States to remember as he goes in to a listening session, number five says, I hear you. The president had to write down a note to himself to remember to hear the kids and to say that he hears the kids at a listening session. The man is bereft of just basic empathy for other human beings. He has to take notes on how to empathize with victims of a shooting. I hear you is written down in the notes. Oh, my God. So there, that's all I had to say. I couldn't go on without commenting on that. What a strange, strange world we live in. Let me get to some marijuana news here in the entertainment field. The show on Netflix, Disjointed, starring Kathy Bates, set in a marijuana dispensary, has been canceled by Netflix, and our folks are pretty happy about that. Yes. I watched about, I think, an episode and a half of it before. I just couldn't watch it anymore. It was just terrible. And here's the thing, is Disjointed tried too hard to be a marijuana show, a show about a marijuana dispensary with marijuana people. And it played on all sorts of tired stereotypes. And at the end there started ragging on Steve D'Angelo and Jack Herer. But here's the number one reason why it failed. Think about what the comparable sitcom would be. The comparable sitcom would be Cheers, right? From the 80s. Cheers, highly successful, decade-long running show. Very, very successful comedy set in a bar. But the stories and the characters weren't negative stereotypes of drinkers. And every show wasn't about drinking or the effects of alcohol, right? Like, yeah, you had Norm, right? Norm was kind of your stereotypical, you know, bar fly, right? But how often did you see people drunk on Cheers? How often did you see the horrors of drunk driving or alcoholism addressed on Cheers? Never, right? It was just about being funny. It was about the characters and their interaction, and there were real people that were interacting. Not that it was set in a bar, and it was about a bar and about drinking and alcohol. So, good riddance to Disjointed. I'm fine with it being gone. I do want to remind us all that Disjointed did have one fantastic thing about it, and that was this public service announcement that they made, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I think it actually works really well as a PSA, featuring members of the Gridiron Cannabis Coalition calling on the NFL and Roger Goodell to let players use medical cannabis.
Hi, my name is Ricky Williams.
My name is Evan Britton.
My name is Marcus Stelly.
My name is Boo Williams.
My name is Jim McMahon.
My name is Chris Cluey.
My name is Kyle Turley. I played in one of the major North American football leagues.
I have two championship rings from that big game we play at the end of the season.
In college, I won a trophy that looks like this.
I was a punter for 8 seasons, and punters are football players too.
I also wrote the name of the commissioner on my headband, and everyone lost their shit.
The men who play American football are subject to a life of injury,
pain,
and disease,
both during and long after their careers are over.
And that's why I smoke pot.
That's why I smoke cannabis.
That's why I smoke weed. That's why I smoked weed when I played.
It has, without a doubt, reduced the amount of pain I live with.
It's my body. I know.
But for some reason, the major North American non-Canadian football league refuses to allow players to use cannabis.
Instead of allowing for safe, natural healing, the sport pushes players towards addictive, narcotic painkillers with serious side effects.
So let's get real, Roger.
Football players should be allowed to use medicinal marijuana.
Without the stigma of it being a banned substance.
Cannabis isn't a drug.
It is a medicine.
So at least we can credit Disjointed for giving us one hell of a fine PSA. Cut a couple of lines out of that, and you could run it on any network. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got news from Virginia and Oklahoma lawmakers who know better than you silly citizens.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. The Marijuana Agenda free podcast is available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, SoundCloud, and on our Facebook page at MJ Agenda. Free video archives are available at the Radical Russ channel on YouTube. Help keep this media free by making a donation at paypal.me/Radical Russ. You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Bueller.
Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
Weed.
Pot.
Edibles.
Trees.
Dabs.
Loud.
It helps my anxiety.
My cramps.
My appetite.
It allows me to slow my thought process.
It helps me feel balanced. It gets me going.
It helps me feel normal.
More social. I just like it.
It's fun.
It smells good.
Okay, I love it.
But I don't drive.
I don't drive. I never drive high.
No matter why.
It's still a DUI.
DUI doesn't just mean booze.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal Potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159-855.
Sienna, your Hector David, PKA Dirtball, Vizca Rutka, Gelatinen, Alla Or.
It's time for Joker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 12 after the hour, and we're going to take a look at a couple of U.S. states with respect to the legalization of marijuana, the reforms that we're trying to make across this country. We start in Virginia, where I'm so proud of these Virginia folks. They're looking at expanding their current medical cannabis, and the headline from WHSV in Harrisonburg says, Virginia lawmakers unanimously back expanding use of medical cannabis oil. Now, you may know that Virginia is one of the CBD states, CBD only, right? So you can't get marijuana, you can't have bud, you can't have whole plant. You can only have this cannabidiol oil. But here's where it gets interesting in Virginia, because the cannabidiol oil that you find in most of these state laws is something that says it has to be like 5% CBD or greater and less than 0.3% THC, right? It's always less than 0.3, and that number is just kind of picked out of the air because it's the number for industrial hemp, and so it's easy to sell people that, hey, it's non-psychoactive, it's so low in THC, right? Because that's the big problem. Oh my God, we can't have people getting euphoria from their medicine. Oh no, we can't have that. So in Virginia, is one of the states where it's slightly different, as well as Georgia. I believe Georgia allows THC up to like 5% or something like that. Okay. But in Virginia, it's quite interesting because in the Virginia law, scroll down here, make sure I've got the right numbers. So back on the 5th, February 5th, there was two bills to allow the Virginia doctors to recommend cannabidiol oil or THCA oil. THCA or THC acid oil for any diagnosed condition. Any diagnosed condition. Not the original like epilepsy and you know, the little few kids that can get it. But we're talking about allowing cannabidiol oil or THCA oil for any diagnosed condition. And one of those bills, HB 1251, unanimously passed the Virginia House of Delegates and the Virginia Senate. 98-0 in the delegates, 40-0 in the Senate. So the bill is going to the desk of Governor Ralph Northam. Northam not only plans to sign the bill, but enacted an emergency clause last week that would make the bill effective as soon as he signs it. So why am I all thrilled about this? Well, for one, allowing cannabidiol for any condition is remarkable. That's just like doctor says you can have CBD, you can have CBD. But the THCA oil part, this is the interesting part to me. I'm trying to find the exact numbers. They had this in here in the story, and now I've lost track of where it's at. Or maybe it's not in this particular one. All right, but the, here it is. It's worth noting that cannabis oil is still classified as a controlled substance by the federal government, however, making it technically illegal on the national level. The oils, to meet the definition set in this legislation, must contain at least 15% CBD or THCA, but can't contain more than 5% THC. Why is this interesting? All right. Up to 5% THC is pretty cool right off the bat, right? You know, when all of our opponents start talking about, you know, this is not your father's Woodstock weed, the Woodstock weed they're talking about was 5 to 7 to 8% THC. So they're allowing up to 5% THC right off the bat, which you can get some psychoactivity off of that. You can definitely get a little bit of a high off it. It takes a lot of oil, but you can do it. But the real cool thing is this THCA. It must contain at least 15% THCA. That's a floor, not a ceiling. That means it could have as much THCA as you could put in it. As much THC as you could put in it. Now, I don't know if you know about the organic chemistry involved with cannabinoids. I don't know if you know what decarboxylation means. But let me just tell you a little story. You know when you want to have some brownies? You want to have some pot brownies, right? And you want to make those pot brownies. You want to make them so you can get high, right? Why is it that you don't just take a whole bunch of weed, grind it up, throw it in the brownies? I don't know if you've ever done that, but what happens is you get brownies with a bunch of green shit in them, and it doesn't taste good, and it doesn't get you high. You know why? Because cannabis buds, in their raw state, don't have THC. They have THCA. What causes the THC to get you high is when you spark that bud, the combustion converts the THCA, at least some of it, into THC for you to inhale. That's why when you're making brownies, making your pot brownies, you have to take your buds, put them in an oven at like 250, 220? I forget what the exact point temperature point is, but a low heat. And that is the process of decarboxylation. That process means the THCA in the buds gets converted to THC. And then you soak it in butter and strain it and do all that kind of stuff and get your pot brownies, right? So I hope that nobody in Virginia who gets a doctor to recommend THC oil to them for any condition, and that THC oil can be over 15% up to, theoretically, 100%. I hope they don't take that THC oil, that THCA oil, and then heat it up to the decarboxylation point of THCA and thereby convert all that oil to pure THC. Because under my reading of the law, you know, that would be illegal. So whatever you do, folks, in Virginia, when the governor signs this bill and you go to the doctor for some THCA oil for your chronic pain, don't decarboxylate it into THC that could get you high.
Could it be Satan?
I know there's some people out there like, Russ, shut up. Shut up. But you know what? I kind of have this issue with trying to trick the voters and trick the use tricks and loopholes of the law to secure our rights. There's something about that bugs me.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
We've got to reestablish first a view that you should say no. People should say no to drug use. They got to protect themselves first.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana. The Marijuana Agenda is a listener-supported independent podcast brought to you by Radical Russ Media, LLC. Subscribe to our VIP feed at MJAgenda.com for access to our ad-free podcast segment archive. Make a one-time donation to support the Marijuana Agenda at paypal.me/radicalruss. Now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
I wanted to save you, and I can't. And you had to do it yourself.
But once just staying off drugs for a few days and starting to see how it was and actually working towards that, things are not perfect and it's not always easy, but...
This has been an actual anti-drug public service announcement. To combat this and other drug war hysteria, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific at live.mjagenda.com or download the free podcast at mjagenda.com.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Barack has sent him a package? Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everyone. 24 after the hour, and saw a stat come across the other day. I think Chris Saliza at CNN had pushed this one out, and it was a poll number showing that 97% of Americans favored universal gun background checks. Don't worry, I'm not going to the gun issue, just bringing up the stat. And it was pretty universal, like, you know, 98% of Democrats, 97% of independents, 96% of Republicans, over 50, under 50, conservative, liberal, religious, not rural, urban, didn't matter. Over 90% supported universal background checks. And likewise, over 90% of America supports medical marijuana, right? So it's pretty telling to me that you have an issue that if politics were normal, everybody'd be behind it. Like, everybody in Congress would be, like, clamoring to be the first to pass a law in favor of what 95 or greater percent of the people want if politics were normal. But what we've got is a situation where both of those issues, Congress goes nowhere because they're bought and sold by the NRA on the gun issue and by pharma, the Pharmaceutical Representative Manufacturing Association, whatever the hell that acronym stands for, the big pharma lobbying people, because they've got all the money, and money is what runs our politics. And it's always troubled me that we don't have a mechanism to get around this, money and politics issue, especially since the Citizens United decision. It's just made it so, you know, they decided that money is free speech, which is bullshit, because that means some people have a whole lot more speech than other people. And that doesn't make sense to me, right? You have freedom or you don't have freedom. It's not in increments, right? You either have a right or you don't have a right. So this idea that Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos or the Koch brothers and the Mercers or whoever else or George Soros or whatever side you don't like can call the shots in our democracy is just offensive to me. And I've been trying to think about, you know, how do you get around it? How do we actually have a government in which the will of the people can be supreme? Now, we don't have initiative power in like 26 states, and we don't have initiative power at the federal level. Although some would argue that the amendment process, the constitutional amendment process, is like a federal initiative process, but it's not even in comparison because of just how incredibly difficult it is for the people to be able to convene the constitutional conventions in three-fourths of the states, right? And then have to get that through the state legislatures and then present that to the Congress where it's two-thirds, or I forget all the mechanisms, but it's a huge hurdle to clear to be able to pass a constitutional amendment. So I kind of lament that we don't have any sort of national initiative petitioning system. Now, I know they had the whitehouse.gov and the Ask the White House or whatever, those online polls that don't mean anything. I mean a mechanism by which we, the people of the United States, could actually change our federal laws. I'd love to have that. At least we have it at the state level, and there's, like I said, 24 states that have initiative power. One of those states is the state of Oklahoma. Now, in Oklahoma, they are voting this June on State Question 788, which is their initiative to legalize medical marijuana. And it's a pretty progressive medical marijuana initiative, if I'm not mistaken. And I'll pull up Ballotpedia on this. By the way, if you haven't looked it up, you should go to the website ballotpedia.org. It's like encyclopedia, but ballotpedia.org. And they have every marijuana vote ever taken. And all the marijuana votes that will be taken, all the pros, the cons, who's in support, who's in opposition, how much money did they raise, etc. So in this Ballotpedia entry for State Question 7088, it would legalize marijuana, also known as cannabis, for medical purposes in Oklahoma. Obtaining a state-issued medical marijuana license would require a board-certified physician's signature. There would be no specific qualifying conditions to receive medical marijuana. They just may pass medical marijuana in Oklahoma that is as welcoming to patients as California. Anything a doctor believes medical marijuana could treat could be the case in Oklahoma. People with licenses would be permitted to possess up to 3 ounces of marijuana on their person and 8 ounces of marijuana in their residence. That's like where you're at with Washington State, I believe. A 7% tax would be levied on marijuana sales, with revenue being allocated to administrative costs, education, and drug and alcohol rehab. 7% would be the lowest tax in America. Licenses would be required to operate dispensaries, commercial growing operations, and processing operations. Municipalities would be prohibited from restricting zoning laws to prevent marijuana dispensaries. They wouldn't be able to have moratoriums on dispensaries in Oklahoma. This, like I said, this could be a breakthrough medical cannabis law. And I don't think it has home grow. That's the only thing. I see a license, possession, and use. But there would be dispensaries, I believe, to put this all together. No, wait, I'm sorry. Individuals possessing a medical marijuana license would be authorized to consume marijuana and possess up to 3 ounces on their person, 6 mature and 6 seedling plants, up to 1 ounce of concentrated marijuana, up to 72 ounces of edible marijuana, and up to 8 ounces of marijuana in their residences. Possessing up to 1.5 ounces of marijuana without a license, but with a medical condition, would be deemed a misdemeanor. So they defelonize possession for any sick person, even if they don't get their license. This would be huge, folks. This would be an amazing medical marijuana law to pass. It'd be the first one to allow home grow in a long time. And I mean home grow for everyone, not this North Dakota 40 miles away from a dispensary kind of bullshit. I'm talking a real medical marijuana law could pass this summer, this June, in Oklahoma. Now, this has definitely caught the attention of the lawmakers in Oklahoma, because they're by and large opposed to any sort of marijuana reform. And that leads me to this story that is very disturbing. Even if you're not talking about the marijuana issue, it's just disturbing as a democracy. And it's out of TulsaWorld.com. And it's this representative, John Enns, I think his name is. And he's trying to get the initiative process, he's trying to make it more difficult. He says, quote, "A lot of what's going around in these other states, like legalization of recreational marijuana, has been done through initiative petition. And constituents are like, we don't want to see that happen in Oklahoma," end quote. So what they're proposing is that, number one, we're going to increase how many signatures you need to get. And number two, we're going to mandate that you get a certain number of signatures from each county. And these kind of shenanigans, they did the same thing in Idaho recently. I think it was 2-3 years ago, Idaho passed a law, same idea. Oh, shit, these medical marijuana people are about to get something on the ballot. We better make it harder. And so they enacted you had to get like a certain number of signatures for every congressional district. Same kind of shenanigans exist in Missouri. Missouri should have been voting on medical marijuana last election, but they've got one of those requirements. Again, you have to get X percent of your signatures from each one of the damn districts. And when you get around St. Louis, the districts are so gerrymandered that people don't know what district they're in when they're signing, and they fell short by 23 signatures. Sick people having to wait another 2 years, if they can live that long, because of these kind of anti-democratic shenanigans. When the people are successful at passing these laws the politicians don't want, these politicians don't recognize that they're in the wrong. They don't recognize that they're behind the times. They don't recognize they're on the wrong side of history. They think, uh-oh, the process is flawed. My God, the proles are able to change things the way we don't like them. And that's just offensive. This representative Enns in Oklahoma should be ashamed of himself. If anything, we should be making it easier for people to put initiatives together and change the laws. If your constituents don't want to see marijuana legalization happen, number one, don't sign the petition. And number two, if it does get on the ballot, vote it down. You know that's happened, right? California, 1972, citizen initiative voted down. Oregon, 1986, citizen initiative voted down. Alaska, Colorado, Nevada throughout the 2000s, like 2002, 2004, 2006, voted down, voted down, voted down. Oregon, California, 2010, voted down. Oregon, 2012, voted down. Ohio, 2015, voted down. Why are you afraid of democracy, Oklahoma? Why wouldn't you want the majority of the voters to get their way? Now, I understand there's got to be limits on this sort of thing, but those limits are found in our constitutional rights. Like, now we can't have Oklahoma passing an anti-gay marriage initiative or something stupid like that. So it's just sad to see this is what's happening with democracy, that marijuana scares them so much, they got to change the rules. All right, we're going to take a break. I got to see who's at the door. We'll be right back. We'll talk about the Mexican cartels' reaction to legalization and how that factors into the immigration debate when we return to the Marijuana Agenda.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Get out of here, Dewey.
What are y'all doing in here?
We're smoking reefer.
Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
This is Radical Russ Belville with a word about stone driving. Numerous studies have shown once you factor in age and gender, drivers with cannabis in their system have no statistically greater risk of motor vehicle crashes than sober drivers. But that doesn't mean you ought to be toking and driving. Those studies are referring to people with any amount of THC or metabolite in their system, not people who've just smoked marijuana. Simulators and observed demonstrations show that cannabis consumers do develop a tolerance to the impairing effects of marijuana and can perform driving tasks within an acceptable margin of safety. However, infrequent and novice consumers do not and cannot, and would be wise to never toke and drive. Even regular cannabis consumers should exercise caution before deciding to drive, as most state laws punish drivers harshly if they're discovered to have marijuana in their system.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everyone. 38 after the hour. New guests checking in here to Delta 9 House, the studios. Check out our new website at delta9house.com. You want to book your rooms quick, folks. 420 is already booked. The whole week of 420. You can't get a room here. So we're already booking into May, June, and July, some of those best weekend dates. If you're wanting to visit beautiful Legal Potland, Oregon, hang out here at the Delta 9 House and Studios and enjoy our house weed and fresh breakfast with the Delta 9 hens laying your eggs, book it now at delta9house.com. I got to give a shout out here to a supporter of the show. We got our delivery from the Daily High Club. That's right. We're part of the Daily High Club, and you could be too. You can see the Daily High Club's 420 custom grow, custom wife. We got the every box each month has a different kind of graphic going with it. Now, understand it's called Daily High Club, and right there at the bottom, there it is, for tobacco use only. That's right, folks. Everything that we just bought here from, we just got here delivered from the Daily High Club is for tobacco use only. All right, so let's see what we got this week. We got the Custom Love 420. Oh, it's the Valentine's edition of the Daily High Club. So what's cool about Daily High Club, you get all this stuff sent to you. And the first thing that I always pick out, oh, yeah, we got ourselves a beaker-shaped Daily High Club. Looks like a diffuser with a, looks like you could put a standard bong bowl or a ceramic, a titanium nail, or you could dab off of this. Really nice. Thanks, Daily High Club, sending us some glass. Maybe I won't break this one. What else we got in here in the Daily High Club? Oh, a very nice raw ashtray. Got a raw rolling papers kind of tin ashtray going on. That'll go well here. Ah, one of these little guys. I didn't know what's going on here, but looks like a cigar holder or a joint holder. Oh, I know. Maybe that's a ring. You put the joint in there. That could be it. One of these little round lighters. This one's got little like a Mary Jane bikini girl on it. There we go. A pack of 6 1-1/4 pre-rolled cones. That's very cool. Pre-rolled cones from the Daily High Club. We got some raw rolling papers, and it looks like some Khalifa tips for your roll there. That's cool. We've got, let's see, it's in the, oh, maybe this is the bowl for the glass. Let's see what we got in here from Daily High Club. And you can check them out at dailyhighclub.com, I believe is the website. And yes, indeed, this looks like the, I'm not even sure what the hell this is going on with this. It's got a U-shaped kind of a bowl to it. I don't know what's up with that. I'm going to hand that off to Lori. She can maybe figure that out. Some blunt blueberry bomb wraps, it looks like. We got us a 8-bit green heart kind of air freshener sticker. Another sticker in here.
I don't know.
You don't know what that is? Yeah, custom girl, custom wife. That's kind of cool. I'll give you all the rest of this stuff here, Lori. We'll take this away. But my thanks to Daily High Club for continuing to send us stuff here at Delta 9 House. We make sure all the guests here at Delta 9 House get a look at that, too. And one last bit in here. What do we got here for show and tell for the YouTube viewers? I know people listening on podcasts are like, we can't see anything. I know. So check out the YouTube show one of these days at live.mjagenda.com. Oh, it's a separate bowl. It's a regular bowl. Here we go. This is the regular bowl for that bong. I don't know what the U-shaped bowl is for.
We'll be asking our glass blower.
Our glass blower what's up about. I'm sure it's some dab thing. It's got to be some dab thing. All right. And here's the instructions. All right. So there you go. Thanks, Daily High Club. Now, back to the news here, because I've been telling you about my theory. And that theory is about making the connection from opioids to marijuana. And I truly believe this administration wants to leverage the deaths of the opioid crisis to ratcheting back or even cracking down on marijuana. And partially because, you know, the big pharma, look at it from their perspective, right? They want to keep being able to sell opioid pills. So it can't be the opioid pills that are the problem. It's got to be the marijuana that led to the opioid pills. It's got to be the gateway effect. It's got to be addiction and illegal drugs. And also from the administration's point of view, this helps them tie to Mexico and the whole immigration debate, right? We got danger at our southern border and drugs pouring across the southern border. Now, whether or not they can succeed at this is another question, right? I think the American people are fairly well educated now on medical marijuana and don't believe a lot of the old Nancy Reagan just say no hype anymore. I'm not saying it's going to work. I'm saying this is their plan. I'm saying this is what they want to do. They want to conflate opioid death with marijuana legalization. And so this story that I got out of USA Today kind of fits into this paranoid conspiracy theory of mine. USA Today, Chihuahua, Mexico. As more U.S. states legalize the use of marijuana, Mexico's violent drug cartels are turning to the basic law of supply and demand. That means small farmers, or campesinos, in this border state's rugged Sierra Madre, who long planted marijuana to be smuggled into the United States, are switching to opium poppies, which bring a higher price. The opium gum harvested is processed into heroin to feed the ravaging U.S. opioid crisis. This is what this is an interesting thing, right? Because you can't come right out and say what is implied by this. The implication here is that since we legalized, the cartels aren't growing pot anymore. They're upgrading. They're upgrading to a more dangerous drug, a more addictive drug, a more powerful drug. It's an upgrade. It's an increase. And the natural corollary of that is that we have to stop marijuana legalization so that the Mexican cartels will grow and sell something safer. Really, that's the opposite of what this scare is, right? If legalization of marijuana is crashing the price of marijuana so much they have to switch to heroin and meth, then if we didn't legalize marijuana, the Mexican cartels could still make most of their money on marijuana and not produce so much heroin and meth. They can't come right out and say that, but that's what they're trying to build as far as an image. And again, a lot of this isn't logical. It's about fear, uncertainty, and doubt. It's like, oh my God, we legalized marijuana, and now a bad thing happened in Mexico. The story continues. Laws allowing marijuana in states like Colorado, Washington, and California are causing shifts in the Mexican underworld that have also led to increased violence as the cartels move away from its cash cow of marijuana to traffic more heroin and methamphetamines. U.S. Customs and Border Protection statistics show that marijuana seizures fell by more than half since 2012, while heroin and methamphetamine seizures have held steady or markedly increased. The switch in illegal drugs coincides with Mexico hitting a record 29,168 murders in 2017, the most since the country started keeping homicide statistics in 1997. Now, if you're just reading the first couple of paragraphs of the USA Today story, you're just skimming the news, you just heard legalization of marijuana is causing more meth and heroin to come in from Mexico, and 29,000 people died because of it. But it sounds awful, right? Oh my God. This switch in illegal drugs coincides with 29,000 murders. Oh my God. As you read a little further, though, they give some of the explanation. The jump in violence stems from several factors. Cartels splintering into smaller factions, power struggles within the formidable Sinaloa cartel after leader Joaquin El Chapo Guzman was arrested and extradited to the United States, plus the rise of the violent Jalisco New Generation cartel, which expanded nationally and moved in on El Chapo's turf. Let me boil down that whole paragraph. Because prohibition still exists, and because it's still an illegal market that we keep busting people, it continues to thrive. You bust El Chapo, you didn't shut down anything. You created a job opening. You created a career fair for the worst criminals on the planet. Only legalization gets rid of this. And this is where we're in this spot right now as we legalize. And I fear the same thing is going to happen with anything we do with gun control, too. And the same thing happened with healthcare, with Obamacare, right? Instead of going whole hog, instead of jumping right for exactly what you want, you come out with half measures. You come out with compromises. And then when you half measure it, the other half that you didn't address causes so many problems that people think, oh, it's worse than it was before. Oh, look, we tried to legalize and it didn't work. It was a big failure. Right? Obamacare. We didn't go all the way to public option, which would have solved a lot of the pricing problems and the coverage problems, right? We went halfway with Obamacare that created, and then of course, you got to also credit the Republicans for mucking it up as badly as they could in every state they could. But still, we went halfway. And so the problems of going halfway become an indictment of even trying to go halfway. Same thing with marijuana legalization. We don't legalize federally in all the states. We legalize on the West Coast. And then when you can get $2,000 to $3,000 a pound out on the East Coast because the prohibition still exists there, our legalization gets blamed for it. Oh my God, Oregon has a massive overproduction problem. There's a ton of Oregon weed that's flowing east. Yeah, because it's illegal in the East. our problems with legalization are really problems with other people's prohibition. And I fear the same kind of things would happen with these gun debates. Oh, well, raise the age to get an AR-15 to 21. Okay. And then the next guy shoots up a college campus. He's 22. And people go, see, that didn't change anything. There are still people dying. Right? I got a crazy radical idea. Here's a crazy radical idea. You want something crazy and radical? Let's treat guns like medical marijuana. If you want a gun, you have to go to a doctor who evaluates your need for a gun. There's a list of just certain conditions for which you can have a gun. Once you get that recommendation for a gun, you go to the state and you get your gun card. It costs you $200. You get your gun card. You have to sign up on the gun registry for the gun database that the cops can look at anytime they want. And you're limited to possessing 1 ounce of ammunition in public, 8 ounces of ammunition at home. And if you violate any of those terms, it's a crime. You can be arrested and jailed. And you have to go through that every year. That's the kind of hoops that people have to jump through to get a non-toxic herbal remedy for their pain. But to get an AR-15, you just need to be 18 and not have a criminal record. I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong. I'm saying there's a big contradiction in standards here, don't you think? All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back, wrap up the show here with a look at the Girl Scouts. That's right, the Girl Scouts selling Girl Scout cookies. The edible Girl Scout cookies, and Coors fears legalization.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is brought to you by Cannabis Kamikaze, a professional licensed producer from Canada producing 3 pounds per light. Follow Cannabis Kamikaze on Twitter at Cannabis Kamikaze. That's at Cannabis, K-A-M-I-K-A-Z. Cannabis Kamikaze.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Oh, I could have smoked that pot.
Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
This year in the United States, the opioid overdose crisis will take over 60,000 American lives. The use and abuse of alcohol will claim over 90,000 American lives. But the government still wants to crack down on Americans who smoke marijuana, which has never killed anybody. If this were a war and the enemy killed 150,000 Americans, would we go invade some country that had nothing to do with it? Wait, don't answer that. Skip that part.
Health Cannabinoid, your ACMPR experts. Consultation services for medical cannabis. Visit healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. That's www.healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. Health Cannabinoid.
Pod 2.0.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
In other news today, as we wrap up the show, televangelist Billy Graham has passed away at the age of 99. And if there's any one person you could point to and assign the blame for America moving from being a secular nation under E Pluribus Unum to being this pseudo-Christian nation under In God We Trust, you'd have to point at Billy Graham. He started out, come out in the 50s. He was had people terrified of the commies and the reds, the godless atheists. Let me give you a few of Billy Graham's quotes here. When Martin Luther King wrote the letter from a Birmingham jail, the incredible letter that is just one of the most amazing pieces ever written by anybody anywhere. Written on the scraps of the edges of newspaper, ripped up newspapers and toilet paper, smuggled out of the jail. After Martin Luther King wrote the letter from the Birmingham jail and it gained wide attention, Billy Graham said of Martin Luther King that he should, quote, put the brakes on a little bit, end quote. Oh, Martin Luther King was going too far too fast. When it came to the government helping people out, welfare, entitlement programs, help, Medicare, Medicaid, any kind of stuff like that, Billy Graham put no stock in the New Deal, the Fair Deal, etc. When it comes to the climate change that imperils our whole planet, he said, quote, there's no global warming, end quote. Of course, when it comes to the gays having rights and getting marriage and all the, being treated like human beings, he said of the gays that they were, quote, or at least he said the Bible said they were, quote, detestable, end quote. On the Nixon White House tapes, Billy Graham is heard to be talking about the Jews and they are the synagogue of Satan and that the media was a Jewish stranglehold. So there you go, Billy Graham, dead at age 99, and make of that what you will. All right, as we close up the show here, when it comes to marijuana, I wanted to talk about a couple last little things. The Colorado Girl Scouts are in the news here. And the Girl Scouts of Colorado now treat marijuana dispensaries like any other business in considering cookie sales sites, a spokeswoman says. So the Girl Scouts of Colorado updated their policy for the 2018 cookie season to, quote, treat adult-oriented businesses such as marijuana dispensaries the same as any other business. Now, this is not just marijuana dispensaries. The weekend's listing of approved Girl Scout cookie locators, you literally got a database, a website you can find where to go buy Girl Scout cookies. Includes a bar, a tattoo parlor, coffee shops, and a Lakewood marijuana dispensary. Now, of course, this story has come up before. We've seen this story in San Francisco a couple other times where the girl sets up outside the dispensary and makes a killing. Well, duh, Girl Scout cookies and marijuana go together like Girl Scout cookies and marijuana. Jesus. And the other story I wanted to get to you real quickly, Molson Coors calls legal marijuana a risk factor for its beer business, saying, this is in one of their filings to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, quote, although the ultimate impact is currently unknown, the emergence of legal cannabis in certain U.S. states and Canada may result in a shift of discretionary income away from our products or a change in consumer preferences away from beer. As a result, a shift in consumer preferences away from our products or beer or a decline in the consumption of our products could result in a material adverse effect on our business and financial results. Now, a spokesman for Molson Coors told the Cannabis that it's too early to determine whether legal cannabis has an impact on beer sales volumes. I can only give you my anecdote, folks. I started drinking alcohol when I was 16 years old. By the time I hit age 22, I could drink more than you, faster than you, longer than you. I was Bluto from Animal House. I was chugging whiskey. I was shooting beers, doing keg stands. I drank a lot of beer. I drank your beer. I drank some of your share. And then I found marijuana when I was 22 years old.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I don't know what's up with the Liebermater. She's messing up my cues. What happens when I do this for a week, I guess. That's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us for the Marijuana Agenda at Toker Talk Radio. Check us out at mjagenda.com. Become a patron for $4.20 a month and you get your own feed for Toker Talk Radio. Subscribe for $9.99. You get all the clips that I use on this show.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at mjagenda.com.
For everyone here at Delta Nighthouse and Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
You plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.